the truth, but all she got was lies. Came the time to realize.
Vintage Vinyl Record Shop, located at 187 Osborne, inside Urban Waves, is Winnipeg's newest and most diverse record shopping experience. Whether you're a veteran collector questing for collectibles and obscurities, or new to the world of vinyl and looking for some classic titles, there's something for everyone at Old Gold Vintage Vinyl. With thousands of titles on LP and 45 in genres spanning rock, soul, funk, jazz, blues, reggae, and more, plus new arrivals being added each week means there's always something to discover. Follow at VintageVinyl204 on Instagram and search for Old Gold Vintage Vinyl Winnipeg on Facebook for the latest on what's new in-store. And remember, we're always buying, selling, and trading quality LPs, so call 204-475-2353 or drop by the store at 187 Osborne. Old Gold Vintage Vinyl, because old gold is as good as new.
And welcome to Art World Innovators, exploring stories of innovation in the art world. I'm your host, Susan Cohn, and you're listening to UMFM 101.5 at the University of Manitoba.
Our guest this evening is Ana Martinez Rodriguez, curator of photography, contemporary art, and design at Turm zur Katz and cultural office Constance in Germany. Ana holds an MA in curatorial studies from the Academy of Fine Arts in Leipzig, an MA in contemporary art theory from Goldsmiths, University of London in the UK, a BA in literature, art and media studies from the University of Constance, Germany, a digital curator certificate from the Pausanio Academy in Germany, and summer studies in curating in the arts markets from Zurich University of the Arts in Zurich. Ana did a research residency at the Henry Moore Studios and Gardens in Perry Green in the UK in 2025. Her paper was entitled Henry Moore in the Eye of the Photographer, a focus on Soichi Tsunami's installation views at the Museum of Modern Art, 1946 and 47. Anna's had various teaching assignments in the Visual Cultures Department at the University of Constance and has published papers and exhibition catalogs such as Wolfgang Schultz's Live Life in March of 2022. Anna's been working at the Turm zur Katz for a number of years, and under her leadership, they have grown into a place of exchange on contemporary issues and art and culture with an innovative array of contemporary art exhibitions. Welcome to Art World Innovators, and thank you for joining us this evening.
Yeah, thank you. Excited to be here.
Would you like to tell us about your background and some of your early memories and experiences of art?
So you summed up very nicely my academic background from the places I studied. So maybe to get the whole picture, I have to go way back into my childhood because my father's an art historian. My mother holds a PhD in medieval literature. So I spent a lot of time visiting churches in Europe. And What fascinated me there was always this idea that you were in a space where pictures were telling a story in a way, but also were the incentive to start a conversation about those stories and about those pictures. So that is my baseline interest in what I'm doing up to this very day. So I started my studies here in Konstanz, where I actually live again now. So I'm a local now after 20 years on and off. What attracted me here was that it was not only literature, not only art history, not only media studies, but it was in the mix. And back then, this idea of a bachelor studies was just introduced. We don't have that format as long. And it was a brand new course of study. So that was very exciting as well, because you could do a lot of experiments and the professors were open and excited and it could go either way. And that was very exciting. And also, I think for as a starting point, as always, is very formative to how you progress in philosophical questions and how you have your thoughts and what you believe in the humanities to be true and not to be true, et cetera, et cetera. Very formative starting point for me here.
Do you want to talk a little further about the extensive education you had that ranged from so many different disciplines and how this broad range has maybe informed and enhanced your practice?
I think it's always good to stay in touch with academia in a way that you can always learn more. You can always engage differently from what you originally learned, like I said. I think what attracted me, on the one hand, to leave the country, to go to London, to get a different perspective, and then also to add on this curatorial course in Leipzig, was that there are so many shifts in the visual cultures and especially in curating and in the cultural market as a whole that I think it's interesting to touch base on certain different locations, talk to different people, learn from different perspectives. And so all those different perspectives changed a little part of the view I had and enhanced, I think, my capability to get the bigger picture or also to zone in on certain situations where there were different requirements to meet and to really get the feel what kind of curator I want to be and what kind of curatorial work also satisfies me.
In talking about the types of curating and so forth, would you like to tell us a little bit more about the Turmser Katz and your role as a curator there? Maybe walk us through the process from idea to installation and opening night for an exhibition.
Yeah, so the place itself is quite old, or parts of it, but the concept is brand new. It just started with me when I arrived. I was hired to reshape the space as an exhibition place for contemporary, mainly design, but also art, illustration, photography, what have you. And so what we usually do is we sit together. I work for the cultural office. So there is a team there, but they're not only focused on the exhibition planning. They're doing all sorts of amazing stuff here in town for the local art scene and a lot of funding programs and et cetera, et cetera. So we sit together like once a year and then we look at what we want to do. Also, we now are in a reevaluation phase, what worked the past years, what attracted and what maybe didn't fly so much with the audience, etc. So we start with ideas and then we narrow it down of what's doable for us because we are a very small institution. We are very limited in our spatial capacity. And so we have to not only discuss what we'd love to do, but what is actually doable. Then we try to find partners. So I love the idea of co-working on projects because even though I had this extensive background in my studies, I'm not an expert on anything, basically. So my expertise is being like a synthesizer or a catalyst for all those ideas and projects and people who are specialists and professional in their field. So we look for our partners and then we think, how can we do it in the space? What can we do beside the exhibition? Actually, we think very individually about the topics and their education. So is there a part that would be interesting to do digitally? Would there be an interesting lecture series? Would there be a very good angle for engaging kids or younger adult audiences, which are very hard to get into the museum sometimes? So we don't really have one recipe and then we do every exhibition the same way, but we really take it from the topic and see how we can get there with as much enthusiastic support from the community here and from the professionals we work with. And then, depending on what we show, there's more hands-on or more delicate installation phase. And then we invite everybody and have a nice evening.
Would you like to tell us about any other curatorial work or exhibitions you've done? And what was most intriguing about them?
So what was definitely formative and interesting was the time I spent at the Design Museum in Zurich, the Museum für Gestaltung, where I was not, as I am today, like a one-woman show, but I was part of this huge, huge, amazing team, this huge historic museum with all the collections. It's like a real place of treasures. And that was actually my first contact in working with a collection. And that was very, very interesting, because not only do you get to know the objects, you get to know the stories behind them, how they get connected to other objects, how they are connected to people, etc. So this was something that really, even though I wasn't working in the collection department, that was something that really, really fascinated me. And I wanted more of it, to speak. And that was really a lovely time there.
How did your research residency at the Henry Moore Studios and Gardens come about? And what was that experience like for you?
So that probably connects perfectly to what I just said. I became a treasure hunter. I wanted to have the time to go into a topic very deeply in its core. So to go to the archives last year of the Henry Moore Studios and Gardens, it was really a gift for me, because it was such a special time. And again, I'm not an expert on Henry Moore. I just found that very interesting angle for me. And luckily, the amazing team there agreed that it was worth investigating. And then I was there for 4 weeks, going to the archives, going through documents, catalogs. And in between that, I could walk through the park, through the amazing sculptures out there. It was really, really something. And to work in an archive was an amazing opportunity, but also to be at that very specific place that is out in the middle of nowhere and is so remote, like a sanctuary. It's like a pilgrimage to go there. And everyone there is very friendly and welcoming. And I recommend everybody, if they're in London, to take the train 1 hour up north and visit there.
Did you meet some other researchers from other countries, and did you have the opportunity to exchange ideas with them?
Unfortunately, no, because they only have like one resident at a time. But I did get the chance, of course, to connect with the archives team every day. That was great, because they have lovely employees that have been with the foundation for over decades and they know everything. And that's really fascinating, and also a resource that you sometimes just don't think of, how all those people at the place are deeply connected to Henry Moore and his work. And I got a chance to talk to the main technician there, and gives you a whole another aspect of this work, of this artist and what he did and how he did it. So there was a lot of exchange also with the education department. And of course, that's also interesting for me from a different perspective. How do they engage audiences that come all this way to see the gardens? So I got a lot of great input and a lot of good conversations out of that residency.
Are you able to bring some of that to where you're working now?
Yes, I hope so. Not only informal, all the inputs I get, but maybe also on a level of exhibition making, that I can transfer some of the materials on site I got to know there, that I could maybe bring them into the exhibition space and form an exhibition with that.
Would you like to tell us a bit about the catalog publications that you have done, what you enjoyed and found most valuable about having a catalog to accompany an exhibition?
So I think of publications as their own little beasts somehow, but they're in my case, often accompanying an exhibition or taking a perspective of an exhibition to a different level, because it's just such a major difference if you flip through a book or if you're in the room and all the scales change and the perspectives change and the flow changes. So I always find that intertwinement very interesting. There were actually a lot of different angles how we produced the books, because the one you mentioned with Wolfgang Schulz, that was a very particular project because he started this book before he passed and he couldn't finish it. So we had the whole layout put before us and we had to adapt and tweak some points and we had to add a little layer of text and stuff like that. But it was a very special process because we also worked with a designer who was a close friend of his. That was a very emotional approach in a way, even though I haven't met him, I didn't get the chance. In the next publication we're doing is also accompanying a photographer. It's going to be the next exhibition opening end of March. It's Gottfried Jäger, who's a photographer of concrete photography. That was a whole different process because it was also, again, a family endeavor. We had a lot of input from all sides and we all had that goal to make that very, very nice book. They started printing it today, so I'm very curious what comes out in 2 weeks. And we have this very good Swiss-German publisher, Vexa, who we did a publication a year earlier on Roger Humbert, another concrete photographer. And we're very glad to work with them again. They're really young and fresh and nice to work with.
Do you have the opportunity to go into studios to engage with the artist as you're working on the exhibition for them?
Sometimes yes, sometimes no. Maybe not often enough, I would say. After my experience with Henry Moore's studio, I think I should push for that more often.
You've also had various teaching assignments. Would you like to share a little bit more about that, what you've taught and what you've learned perhaps from the students?
So those teaching assignments are usually when we do a collaboration with the university here. So like I said, I always have my partners, and one partner I do the photography exhibitions with is Professor Bernd Stiegler. He's a professor here at University for Photography History. And we often do seminars together where the students are part of the curatorial choices that we make in the end for the exhibitions. So it's always a mix between hands-on and theory history approach. What's good is it always feels like the first exhibition because you're working with like 20, 30 co-curators who are mostly, they're doing their first exhibition ever and they have a fresh perspective. They see things differently. They pull you back from this idea of, yeah, okay, we did that last time. Let's do it again. It worked. And they're like, no, but we want it like this and that. So it keeps you on your toes. It's really good.
Do you want to tell us a little bit about concrete photography?
Well, I would say in the broadest sense is more an experimental approach to what photography and what actually the apparatus of the camera can do. There were in the 60s, 70s, there were a lot of mainly men experimenters on the fringe of what photography could be, not showing what is there and reproducing the like a documentary image and not actually using their cameras at all anymore. So they do a lot of experiments. In the case of Gottfried Jäger, he does a lot of serial work. To me, working on those two topics, it feels like it's sometimes not even about the image, it's about the process. So what you said earlier about visiting the studios is actually quite an interesting point, because sometimes I feel it's even like a performative art. It has no audience because they don't know it's performative art, but the process and the actually the craftsmanship to a level, because both photographers actually learn photography also as a craft, not only as an artistic practice.
So what's next for you?
So at the end of March, we are opening a new exhibition. So that keeps me busy. And hopefully I will travel to the MoMA archives this year to wrap up the research I started in Perry Green on Henry Moore and Soichi Tsunami, because the whole impulse to work on Henry Moore actually came from that MoMA staff photographer who documented the MoMA exhibitions for over 30 years. And he's an excellent photographer. He has been an excellent photographer also of back then contemporary dance. And I got really excited about his work and I want to look deeper into that.
I'd like to thank you so much for taking the time to share your story and valuable insight with our audience. It's been a pleasure speaking with you and we wish you continued success.
Thank you. Thank you so much for reaching out.
For those of you just tuning in, you are listening to Art World Innovators on UMFM 101.5.
I thought I would close tonight's episode with music by Winnipeg artists James Cohn and the Prairie Roots Rockers and the Brothers Landreth.
There's been a change in the weather and I think it's getting better, but we gotta keep it moving cause it ain't gonna last forever. Oh no. Oh no. Well, when you caught me, I was stealing and pulled me back and pleading. I truly felt like I was one who needed some believing. Oh yeah.
Yeah. sometimes you can help us come blind. And what was I supposed to do when it came back? You were untrue. And see the fast summer cries, life is lived another's life. I'm running, others say I'm going blind.
Susan Cohn, and we thank you for listening to Art World Innovators here on UMFM 101.5 at the University of Manitoba. Join us again next Wednesday from 5:30 to 6 p.m. for more on today's innovators in the art world.
Hey there, I'm Tyler Phil, the founder of My Student Wellbeing and a fellow Winnipegger. I'm passionate about making a positive change in the city, which is why I created My Student Wellbeing, a place where many university students can access mental health counseling, often within 24 hours, at no out-of-pocket cost to them. Help spread the word, since many students don't know about us and how easy it is to get help. Oh, and if you work in mental health or you're passionate about making our community a better place, send me a message through mystudentwellbeing.ca, and I'd love to connect with you. Together, we can make incredible changes.
UMFM 101.5 broadcasts at 1200 watts from the University of Manitoba, located on Treaty 1 territory, the original lands of the Anishinaabeg, Nahiwak, Oji-Cree, Dakota, and Dene peoples, and the homeland of the Métis Nation.
Love is a truck, love is a wall. It'll run you down, or it's what you gotta get over. It's a throw of the dice, it's a telephone call. When it comes to love, there is no four-leaf clover. And if it didn't feel so sweet when it was good,